This is a recording of a presentation I gave, which was hosted by Access Technology Institute, a company owned and run by Kathy Ann Murtha, which offers online courses, books, and tutorials on using Windows and a variety of Windows programs for blind computer users. There is also a small but very useful amount of material available for low vision users. The internet address for Access Technology Institute is www.accesstechnologyinstitute.com. I am an adaptive technology trainer, and if you like what you hear in the presentation and are interested in working with me, contact me, Gene Asner, at the following email address. G-S-A-S-N as in Nancy, E-R, at Ripco, R-I-P-C-O, .com. Before the presentation begins, here are a few notes about Audacity and the presentation itself. When this presentation was given, early in 2006, a beta was available. However, this presentation only deals with the non-beta version. Depending on when you hear the presentation, the beta version may by then be a non-beta version. The beta version has some features and changes to features that make it easier to use by a blind person. For example, you can do much more precise editing in the beta version. To learn more about these changes or more about Audacity in general, you can join the Audacity for Blind email list if you wish. To subscribe, send a blank email to audacity4blind-request@freelists.org. I edited the presentation for clarity and to correct a few minor technical errors. And now, the Audacity presentation begins. As all of you know by now, Audacity is a free recording program, and unless you have demanding recording needs, it may well meet your needs and you may like it a lot. If you're a teacher, you may like it because it may be a good motivational program for some students. People are often fascinated with recording, and it may motivate students to work with dialogues more and to look around the screen more with their jaws cursor or their mouse pointer. So this program may have many beneficial uses. I'm going to actually begin the formal part of the presentation about Audacity by discussing the installation briefly. When you install Audacity, it's a pretty straightforward installation, but you need to be aware that the installation dialogues aren't exactly standard. You'll tab around and you'll see buttons, as you would expect, and then you'll see fields, a field that isn't identified in a lot of these dialogues. Treat this field as though it's an edit field. You can move around in the field. You can use read to end. You can move to the top of the screen if you're not there, of that part of the screen, and read the file, or read the information using read to end or however you like. That's the main thing you need to be aware of as far as the installation is concerned. The other thing you should know is that in one part of the installation, you'll have two options that you will up and down arrow through, and they'll ask you to make two choices. One is whether you want to associate project files with Audacity. It doesn't really matter how you answer this question particularly. It's checked by default, and you might as well let it happen, but it really doesn't matter. The other option is whether you want an icon on the desktop. That is also checked by default. Your screen reader may well not read these items as checked or unchecked, but if you know they're both checked, you can uncheck either one you want by simply pressing the space bar on either item that you want to uncheck. Those are the only things you really need to know about the installation. The rest of it is a straightforward, typical installation. As a beginning of when I'm really going to be telling you how to use Audacity, let's begin by me showing you how you record, play, and do the basic functions in Audacity. Record, play, that sort of thing. Hold on for just a moment while I get ready to do that.
Alt tab, Audacity.
And I'm now ready. You should be able to hear my screen reader along with me now. I'm in Audacity now. It's opened on my machine. I'm going to review for you now the basic function keys in Audacity. They're very simple. They don't use any modifiers. Record is simply the letter R. The space bar stops recording. To play a file, you press the space bar and the space bar stops play. So the space is a toggle when you want to play a file and then when you want to stop it. Pause is simply the letter P. If you're recording and you press P, the recording will be paused. If you press P again, recording will continue. If you're listening to something, P will pause what you're listening to. Then when you press P again, play will resume. I do have to tell you something very important about the use of pause. If you're recording a file and you want to pause the file and then resume recording from where you left off, always use pause. Never use the space bar to stop recording. If you do and then start recording again, you'll have another track being recorded, so you'll have two simultaneous tracks at once, and when you play them, you'll hear two simultaneous separate tracks being played simultaneously, which is not what you're going to want. So when you're recording a file, remember to always use pause when you want to pause the file and not finally and definitely stop recording. The same is true of play. If you're playing a file and you want to pause the file, always use pause. If you use the space bar and then start play again, the file will begin playing from the beginning of the file. That's because whenever you open a file in Audacity, the cursor is at the beginning of the file, and the cursor never moves unless you move it. So, when you start playing the file again, it will always start playing at the current cursor position, which will usually be at the beginning of the file. I'm going to now record a very small file, so we'll have something to work with. I'm going to press the letter R and talk for a few seconds, and then I'll stop. R. Well, I'm recording now, ladies and gentlemen, and in a moment I'm going to stop recording. I'm going to do it now, as a matter of fact.
Space.
I pressed space to stop recording. I'm going to press space to begin play, so you can hear a little bit of it.
Space. R.
Well, I'm recording now, ladies and gentlemen, and in a moment I'm going to stop recording.
Space.
Now I pressed space to stop. Now that I recorded this tiny little file, I can show you how to do something with it. If I hadn't recorded it, none of the options I'm going to show you would be available. So we now have just a 5 or 10 second file in Audacity. How do you save a file in Audacity? I'm going to open the file menu now by pressing Alt and starting to down arrow. You'll hear a number of items that won't apply to what we're going to do. You'll hear one item that says Save Project, and then as I continue down, you'll hear Save As for Project. You're not going to work with either of those unless you want to work with a specific proprietary format that Audacity uses. They call this a project when they're using their proprietary format. I don't use project files because no other player can play them, and I don't have any need to use the project files. You'll probably just want to use standard formats like WAV or MP3 or OGFORBIS, which are the three choices you have when you're working with Audacity. So let's take a look at these options now. I'm opening the file menu.
Menu File Alt F.
Now I'm down arrowing.
Menu New Control N. Open. Control O. Close. Control W. C. Save Project. Control S.
That's Save Project.
Save Project As. A.
And Save Project As. Now we're getting to the standard formats.
Export as WAV. E.
Export as WAV. That's really export as WAV, but the extension for a WAV file is WAV, so that's why it says that. Export as WAV. Below this, you'll hear Export Selection as WAV.
Export Selection as WAV. Unavailable. E.
The reason for that, and the reason it's unavailable, this is the pattern the entire, this part of the menu follows. The first item is Export As, when you're going to export an entire file. The reason you have Export Selection below that is because just as when you're working in a word processor or an edit field in Windows or wherever you select things, you can select audio when you're working with Audacity. It's the same principle. You select what you want to work with and then you work with it as a block. And we'll discuss selecting and how you use selecting later. But a lot of people may pretty much assume that selecting is limited to working with Windows structures and text. but it's not. You use it in recording programs as well for audio. So here we are. Export selection is wave and it's unavailable because we haven't selected anything. When I down arrow again, you'll hear export as MP3.
Export as MP3.
Now export selection is MP3.
Export selection is MP3. Unavailable.
Unavailable. And the last two are for Ogg Vorbis, the final format choice that you have.
Export as Ogg Vorbis. Export selection as Ogg Vorbis. Unavailable.
Now, I'm going to save this tiny little file as a WAV file, so I'm going to up arrow until I get to export as WAV.
Export as export as WAV. E.
And I'm going to press enter.
Enter. Leaving menus. Save WAV Microsoft File As dialog. File name. Edit combo. WAV. Zero like.
Now, this is a typical save as dialog. The same kind of save as dialog that you see over and over in all sorts of Windows programs. I'm going to give the file a name. I'm just going to call it practice.
P-R-A-T-T-I-C-E.
And I'm going to tab to the part of the dialog that tells me where it's going to be saved, because I don't remember where I told it to save it.
Tab, save as, tab, save button, alt, tab, cancel button. Tab, save in, combo box, Otter 606, alt,
and it's going to save it in a folder on my machine that I call Otter, O-T-R, that's for old time radio. Now, I was going pretty fast, but you may have heard that there's a save button there and other typical things that you'll see in a typical save as dialog. So I'm just going to save
Shift
it
tab,
now.
Cancel button. Shift tab, save button, alt,
and back on the save button, I'll just activate that.
Space.
Now the file has been saved. Audacity remembers where you save files. If you choose a location once and continue to save files, all the files are going to be saved in that location until you change it again. The same is true when you open a file in Audacity.
When you tell it a location from which to open a file, in the future, when you open files, it will look in that location until you tell it to look somewhere else. Audacity remembers all sorts of things, as you'll see, until you change things. Now, I'm going to close Audacity, and you'll get a surprise when I close it. Remember now, I exported the file as WAV. When I close the program, you'd expect just to hear it close, but you'll hear something else. I'm going to use Alt F4.
Alt F4, save changes, dialog, save changes before closing, yes button, alt Y.
Now, you heard it say, save changes before closing, the sort of thing you expect to hear when you haven't saved a file. Why does Audacity ask me if I want to save the changes? It asks me that because it wants to save the file in its own proprietary format. So anytime there's a file in Audacity, whether it's a file you've just recorded or whether it's a file you've opened and you're just playing the file, it doesn't matter where the file comes from or if you've made any changes or not, it will always ask you if you want to save the changes. If you don't want to save the changes, just answer no, as I'm going to do now.
Alt N, API presence moderator.
Now,
Windows N, desktop,
I'm
desktop,
going to open Audacity again.
Audacity, 26 of 39, enter. Audacity.
And before I go on to anything else, I'm going to pause for a moment and see if anybody has any questions or things that they're unclear about. So I'm going to leave the floor open for a moment.
Alt L. Alt N, API presence moderator.
My comment, just that the recording sounded absolutely perfect. Just great. Did you have to set, is that the standard recording, the bandwidth, et cetera, everything? It just records that nicely immediately out of the box?
It'll record that way, either that way or maybe even a little better. I fooled around a little bit with recording settings over time, and since I don't record music files, I don't care if I have the absolute best quality. So this is either what you'll generally hear, or you may even hear better quality if you just leave the default set as they are.
Gene, I noticed that you saved to MP3. Do you have any control over the bitrate or template settings?
Yes, you do. I'll get to that later when I show you how to set those kind of settings. And I'll just pause for a moment to see if there are any other questions, and then I'll move on and cover the next items.
This is Ken Crane. I understood the speech perfectly, and I really, really appreciate this conference. I enjoy participating in it.
Well, that's good. Now, I think due to time limitations, I'm going to stop taking questions and get back to the next step, and later on I'll pause and see if people have more questions. So, here we are, ready to move on. I'm now going to show you the next step, which is very easy. I'm going to show you how to open a file in Audacity. I'm going to do the usual thing that you'd expect. Control O to open the open dialog.
Control O.
It didn't work. That's because I'm not in Audacity. Now I'm going to do Control O.
Control O. Select one or more audio files. Dialog. File name. Edit column.
I'm going to find a file.
Shift tab. Folder view list new. Not selected. Line better size.
Here we are. I'm in a folder of my old-time radio programs, and this is a very apropos old-time radio program. It's an old shadow that I recorded, and it's called The Blind Beggar Dies. That is the one that I'm going to open, and before I open it, I want to explain to you how you can tell how much time it's going to take for a file to open, or how much time it's going to take when you're exporting a file, how much time it will take for it to finish exporting, or when you do other things that are going to take time in Audacity that I'll touch on later. There is, if you're using a later version of JAWS, the current version, and perhaps the last one, I don't remember where this feature was added, and if you have the progress bar set enabled, you'll hear a percent change as the file is being saved or opened or whatever is going on. It'll say 20%, 40%, whatever percent has completed. If you don't have this feature enabled, or if you're using WindowEyes, you won't hear the progress bar being read, but you can check the time anyway. Because when you save a file, rather when you export a file or open a file, a dialog opens. You can't tab around in the dialog. There's not really much of anything to tab through, even if you could. But if you route your virtual mouse, the JAWS cursor or the WindowEyes mouse pointer, if you route it to, in the case of JAWS, the PC cursor, or in the case of WindowEyes, it will say routed cursor to button, then you up arrow once using your, you move up one line using your mouse in each program. In JAWS, you'll hear a line read that tells you the remaining time. In WindowEyes, you'll hear remaining time. Then you move down to the next line, and it will tell you the time. So WindowEyes organizes the information slightly differently. If you want to hear the time again, simply use the read current line command for whichever screen reader you're using that applies to the mouse, to reviewing the screen with the mouse. And you'll hear how the time changes over time. And when the file has finished opening or being saved, whatever the case, and you check the time, you won't hear anything. You'll either hear blank, or you won't hear anything because the time disappears. That's how you can tell easily and conveniently how much estimated time is remaining before whatever you're doing finishes. So I'm going to open this file now, and I'm going to just let you hear this time passing by. I'm going to press enter on the file name after I select it. I haven't moved. I'm going to press the space bar. Because I'm at the top of the file list, and I'm going to press enter to open the file now.
Enter. Root JAWS to PC.
Now I'm going to up arrow once.
Remaining time 0:07.
Remaining time 0:07. Read current line.
Remaining time 0:05.
And we have a few more seconds to go.
Remaining time 0:01.
0.01.
Blank.
Now it finished and you heard blank. Now I'm going to switch back to the PC cursor.
PC cursor.
Now the file is opened. Now I'm just going to play this file for a moment. Not for any particular reason, but just so you can hear it play in Audacity.
Space.
And that's the beginning of The Shadow. That thrilling, gripping episode of The Shadow. Now that we have a nice long file to work with, I'm going to show you how to edit. And I'm going to show you how to do some other things. Now, how do you edit a file in Audacity? You go into the menus, which I'm going to do now. I'm just going to press Alt.
Menu, file, Alt, F.
I'm going to right arrow to the Edit menu.
Edit, Alt, E.
And in the Edit menu, I'm going to find Select. It's a submenu. It's closer to get there if I up arrow, so I'm just going to up arrow till I get there.
Menu, new import controls. Snap to, sub, move cursor, sub, selection, restore. Selection, save. Find zero crossings unavailable, Z unavailable.
You've heard some things like selection, restore, selection, save, but now you're just going to hear Select as I up arrow again.
Select, submenu.
And it says select submenu. I'm going to open this submenu now by pressing enter, of course.
Enter all, control A.
And all is the first item. If I were to press enter here, I would select the entire file. But I don't want to select the entire file. Let's see what the other choices are.
Start to cursor.
I down arrowed once. The first choice is start to cursor.
Cursor to end.
I down arrowed again. Cursor to end is the other choice. So there are three choices in this submenu. Now, I haven't moved the cursor yet. So I'm going to close this menu now by pressing escape until it's closed.
Escape, menu select. Escape, menu edit, alt escape, leave in menu bar.
And now, I'm going to move the cursor. And the way I move the cursor is
with the right and left arrow keys. It's also useful to know that if you want to move to the beginning of a file, you use home, and if you want to move to the end of a file, you use end.
If you're using JAWS and you're editing, I would say you shouldn't have any other programs open except Audacity. If you're using Window Eyes, this doesn't matter. But the reason in JAWS that you shouldn't have any other programs opened is because JAWS slows down the motion of the cursor a lot. If JAWS is running, it's going to take you a long time to move through the file. Window Eyes doesn't cause this effect.
So I unload JAWS before I start moving.
I'm going to do that now, but I'm going to go to the desktop first.
Windows tab, desktop Audacity.
The reason I'm going to the desktop is because if you unload JAWS while you're in Audacity, then when you try to run JAWS again, you may get an error message and you may not have speech. Then you have to fool around clearing the error message and running JAWS again, and it's inconvenient.
Also, when you run JAWS again, go to the desktop. I haven't determined whether the error that I spoke of occurs because of unloading JAWS when you're in Audacity, or if you run JAWS while you're in Audacity, when you start JAWS again. So whenever you unload JAWS or start JAWS running again, always go to the desktop first and then return to Audacity to avoid the error I spoke of.
So I'm unloading JAWS now.
Unloading JAWS, click JAWS, enter.
I'm alt-tabbing back to Audacity. And here we are. I just checked to be sure by pressing the spacebar to make it play for a moment. Now I'm going to start moving the cursor. I'm going to hold the right arrow key down for a few seconds. I held it down about 4 or 5 seconds. Now to check to see where I am in the file, I'm going to make it play for a moment. Now, I've moved maybe about 2 or 3 minutes into this file. Let's move a little more. I'm holding the right arrow key down some more. Now I let it up. Now I'm going to press play again for a moment.
Some blunt instrument.
Now, that's talking about how someone was murdered. You may have understood it to say some blunt instrument. So now we're about 6 or 7 minutes into the file. You can move in just little bits by pressing the right or left arrow key just for a moment and then letting it up. Or you can just hold it down and move through the file. Now I'm going to run JAWS again. I don't have to leave Audacity to run JAWS. I just leave Audacity when I unload JAWS.
JAWS for Windows is ready. Find better type.
And we're going to do what I showed you before. I'm going to go into the Edit menu, up arrow until I get to Select, open the menu, and then I'm going to select Start to Cursor.
Menu, File, Alt F, Edit, Alt E. Selection, Save. Find zero crossings on the way. Select, Submenu, Enter, All, Control, A.
I'm in the Select menu now. I'm going to Submenu now. I'm down arrowing once.
Start the cursor.
Now I'll press Enter.
Enter, leaving menus.
The menu closed, and I have now selected the file up to the current cursor position. Now let's say that I want to delete this part of the file. I've selected it, and so I can work with this part of the file now. You can delete from within the Edit menu, but there's a command for deleting. It's Control K. So I'm going to issue that command now.
Control K.
And the beginning of this file has now been deleted. So if I wanted to, I could save the file now. I'd give it a different name because I found that it's unreliable if you save a file in Audacity using the same name, even though you're supposed to be able to. I've gotten error messages when I've done that. So give it a different name and save it with a different name. Now I've showed you how to edit, and you do exactly the same thing if you move partway through a file and you want to delete from cursor to end, you just use cursor to end. You use that option in the menu, and then you use the delete command. Control K, as I said. Well, now that I've showed you how to delete a selected part of a file, I'm going to show you a little bit about what's called the effects menu, because you may find this very interesting, and you may find really nice uses for it. As before, you have to have material selected when you're working with the effects menu. If nothing is selected, then you can't work with anything. So, I'm going to select all the rest of this file. To do that, you can use the standard Windows shortcut. You don't have to go into the menus. You can use the standard Windows command, Control A. So I just did that now, and the file is completely selected. The file is selected now. I'm going to open the menus and right arrow till I get to Effects.
Menu file, edit alt, new alt, project alt, generate alt, effect alt.
And here we are at Effect. I'm going to start down arrowing, and you can hear some of the options here.
Menu repeat last effect control.
The first one is repeat last effect. Let's say you've done something and you want to do the exact same thing again, cumulatively. Like, let's say you've raised the volume of the file. It was too soft and you made it louder.
Then you want to raise the volume again by the same amount as you did last time. So if the first time you executed the command it was 2% louder, then the second time you do it, it will be 4% louder.
That's what this item is for in the menu. Now I'll down arrow again.
Amplify.
Amplify, that's what you use to raise the volume.
Bass boost.
Bass boost. Now, I have my screen reader set not to read punctuation, but all these are dialogues. If I had it set to say dot, 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 you'd hear dot, dot, dot after all these things.
Change pitch.
Change pitch, these are all dialogues.
Change speed.
Change speed.
Change tempo.
And change tempo.
The ones I'm particularly interested in showing you are change speed and change tempo.
I've up arrowed to change pitch. I'm going to go back to change speed.
Change speed.
And I'm going to press enter.
Enter. Leaving menus. Change speed. Dialogue. Change speed. Affected both tempo and pitch. By Bob Johnson and Dominic Mazzoni.
Now it's reading some extra text that we don't really care about. I'm in a dialogue now, and I'm in an edit field. If I read the current line now, it'll say something like 0.00.
By Bob Johnson and Dominic Mazzoni using sample rate. Now,
it's going to read a lot of extraneous text, so don't worry about what it says. We're in the edit field, and let's say that somebody sent me a recording of something, and it was too slow for some reason. Maybe they got it off of an old tape or something, and their tape recorder was running too quickly or too slowly. In this case, their machine was running too slowly, and it really annoys me that the file is so slow. What if I want to speed it up? In this dialog, you need to clear the edit field. I'm going to use Home, Shift, End, and then Delete.
Home. Selected. 0.0.
Okay, so 0.0 is selected now, and I'm going to delete it.
Land.
Now, if I want to raise the speed by 10%, I'll just type 10.
1.0.
Now I'm going to tab through this dialog. You'll hear some presets, for example, for converting something from 78 to 33, things I don't use, and I doubt you're going to use. But then you'll get to a preview button.
Tab by Bob Johnson and Dominic with tab, standard final RPM from tab, the combo box, and a 404. Tab, preview button.
Here we are at the preview button now, so I want to hear what this is going to sound like, speed it up by 10%. I'm going to press the space bar, and you'll hear that it's a fair amount faster.
Space.
Some blunt instrument. Is it a pipe or a blackjack?
Hmm.
He's right in here.
No, no. Don't hit me. I'm an old man. No.
I'm afraid you won't get much out of it, but you can try.
Now, that may not have been as obvious with the voice as it would have been with music, so I'm going to play this little bit again at normal speed. A little bit of this, and you'll see that it is a fair amount faster.
Space.
With some blunt instrument. Is it a pipe or a blackjack?
Hmm.
He's right in here.
No, no.
Space.
That's normal speed, and it did speed it up a fair amount. Once you use the preview button to see how it's going to sound, the dialog closes, so you can't just continue the tab and then find the OK button and have it do what you want it to do. You have to open the effects menu again, enter the same information again.
In our current example, the number 10. And remember, you have to select and delete what's there first.
Go to the OK button and activate that, and then it will go through the file and make whatever change you want to make. Now, for some reason that I don't understand, if you want to speed a file up by 100% for some reason, you enter 50 into this dialog where you set the amount of percent change. I don't know why that is, but that actually speeds up the file by 100% if you ever have any reason to do that, or you can slow it down by putting a minus sign before the number, like minus 5 or minus 10. Now that I've showed you this dialogue, I will tell you about the effects dialogue. Not the effects dialogue, the change tempo dialogue. You work with this dialogue in the same or about the same way as I showed you how to work with the speed dialogue. The reason I'm particularly mentioning the change tempo dialogue is that it allows you to change the speed at which a file plays without changing the pitch. So let's say that you've recorded a file. Let's say you've recorded a lecture or some sort of spoken word file, and you want to speed it up as though you were using speech compression. You can select the file, as I showed you. You can select the whole file. Then you can go into the change tempo dialog, put a number in there. You know, maybe you want to speed it up by 20 or 30. Then you can preview it if you want, or you can simply find the OK button and press Enter. The whole file will be speeded up, and as though you were using speech compression, you'll be able to listen to the file with no change in the pitch, but with faster speech. This may be a valuable feature for some of you if you do a lot of listening to spoken word material and you want to speed it up. That may be one option that you may want to use to speed up files.
Before we leave the effects menu, I want to briefly discuss the amplify dialog. This dialog, as I said before, is used to raise or lower the volume of a file. Most of the time, just using the default settings will do what you want, or roughly what you want, when you're working with this dialog. Most of the time, if you're working with a file, the problem is that the volume is too low. When you open the Amplify dialog, it's about the same as the other dialogs that we've been working with. You can change information in the Edit field. There's a Preview button and an OK button, so it's very similar. When you're changing the volume level in the Amplify dialog by changing information in the Edit field, you're not working with percentages of volume. You're working with decibels. This is a logarithmic function, and of course, feel free to experiment with it, but unless you understand decibels, you may well not get the results you anticipate when you try changing the numbers in the Edit field. However, as I said, in most cases, unless you're needs are complex for working with the Amplify dialog, the default settings will be fine. Often, if the volume is too soft in a file you're working with, it will raise it to a level that's roughly what you want.
Now, before I go any further, I don't want to forget this. When you're editing a file, you can't edit it unless you first save the file. So first you have to save the file, then close Audacity, then open Audacity again, then open the file in Audacity, and then you can edit. But for some reason, you can't edit a file before you've saved it, closed Audacity, and then reopened Audacity to work with the file.
When you're working with effects such as I've showed you, such as change speed or change tempo or amplify, when you're working with effects, you don't have to save the file first. If you've recorded the file and you want to make a change without saving it, you can. But when you edit a file, if you've never saved the file, you have to save it and then reopen it before you can edit it.
Now that I've showed you how to work with the effects and edit, I'm going to show you something about different formats and explain a little bit about how you decide which format you want to work with. Before I do that, I'll stop for a minute and see if anyone has any questions or comments. Let me just get ready to do that. All right, now I'll leave the floor open briefly.
Okay. Really quick, would it be possible for you to change the tempo on that shadow snippet and let us hear what that sounds like? Make a radical change and let's hear what it does?
I can make it a lot faster. Well, I can set it for 20 or 30%.
So let's see. Let's hear it. I'd like to hear it real quick.
Well, I might as well do that now, and then I'll just move on to the next topic after that. All right, here we are back in Audacity again. I'm going to speed it up and let you hear the preview. I'm going to speed it up by 30% this time.
Menu, file, alt F.
I'm right arrowing to get to the effects menu now after I open the menus.
Edit, alt E. View, alt V. Project, alt T.
Edit, view, project.
Generate, alt T. Effect, alt C.
Generate, and here we are at effect.
Menu, repeat last effect, control R.
Repeat last effect.
Amplify.
Amplify.
Bass boost. Change pitch.
Bass boost, change pitch.
Change speed.
Change speed.
Enter, leaving menus, change speed, change 5.0.
Now, I've opened it up. I open the dialog. I'm in the edit field now. Now remember, you have to clear the edit field. You can't just start typing here.
Home. Selected 0.0. Blank.
So I did home shift end. Now I'm going to speed it up by 30%.
3.0.
So I type 30, or not by 30%, by the number that they refer to as 30.
Tab, preview button.
Here I am at the preview button. Now I've tabbed to it. I'm going to press enter and you'll hear it previewed in a moment.
Space.
Some blunt instrument. Is it pipe or a blackjack? Hmm. He's right in here.
No, no. Don't hit me. I'm an old man.
Space.
I'm afraid you won't get much out of it, but you can try.
Now that's it at the faster speed. Here it is again at the normal speed for contrast.
Space.
Some blunt instrument. Is it pipe or a blackjack?
Hmm.
He's right in here.
No, no.
Space.
And that's about enough for that. So, I have noticed some degradation in sound quality when I change the speed of a file. You'll have to experiment with it and see if that matters to you very much. It's in the little I played with it, it doesn't seem to degrade the sound much. But if you really care about the sound of a file, you may have to decide between whether you want a little bit not as good sound, not quite as good,
and have the speed be correct, or have the speed be incorrect and have a little better sound. In other words, are you going to leave the file the way it is with the speed not correct and have a little better sound, or correct the speed and have it sound not quite as good?
Now, the next topic to cover is, how do you determine the kind of file you're going to record? Earlier, one of the people here asked about recording in stereo or mono or that sort of thing. Well, in the file menu in Audacity, there is a preferences dialog. But you don't have to go into the menus. You can simply use the command Control P to go into the preferences dialog, and I'm going to do that now.
Control P. Audacity preferences dialog. File format stage when importing a compressed audio file.
Now, let me move through here and get to the place where I want to be.
FFT size 60, temp, direct, auto scroll, auto play and check, list view, not selected, new control end, 1 of 95, mouse findings, default, app, playback device, combo box, Microsoft Sound Map app, recording device, combo box, app, recording channels, combo box, one shift, shift, app,
okay,
playback device, combo box, Microsoft Sound Map, one.
Here we are. What I had to do is, this dialog has many property sheets, so I control tab to get to the property sheet where I want to begin, and which, as I recall, is the default property sheet. If you've never opened this dialog before, my recollection is that you'll be in the property sheet where we are now. Now, I want to point out two things. One is, as is so often the case in Audacity, it remembers the property sheet you worked in last. So if you work in a property sheet and then activate the OK button, you'll be in that property sheet, the same one, the next time you open the preferences. So that's generally very convenient. In this, the other thing that you need to know is that you can't tab through the property sheets and get to the tabs where you left and right arrow to move from property sheet to property sheet. They're not accessible when you tab through this menu. You'll get to an OK and a cancel, and then you'll get back to the first item again that you can work with. But the only way that you can move through here using the keyboard from property sheet to property sheet is to use Control Tab. We're now in the property sheet where we deal with determining the kind of file that we want. There are some other technical settings in here, such as the sound input and the sound output device and that sort of thing. It starts by placing you when you're in this property sheet. Let me check.
Microsoft Sound Mapper, output 102.
So, when you open this property sheet, you're placed in the output device. Then you tab once.
Tab, recording device, combo box, Microsoft Sound Mapper, input 102.
And now we're in the recording device, where you select that. When you tab again, here's the part that you're going to be interested in.
Tab, recording channels, combo box, 1 mono, 1 of 16.
And here we are, recording channels. I have mine set to monaural because almost everything I record is spoken word. And if you record, if you're recording and you make a monaural file, you'll save a lot of disk space compared to a stereo file. So if you don't care if something is stereo, if it's a news program or something, then use monaural, because you'll save twice as much space. The file will be twice as small if it's a monaural file, because a stereo file has twice as much information in it for each channel. It has information for the left and right channel. Mine is set for monaural now. You just do this, change these settings in a typical way. You just down arrow
to stereo.
I down arrow to stereo. Let's hear some more of the track options.
3, 4.
You can continue to down arrow, and eventually you'll get to 16. In the current state of Audacity, you can only record in monaural or stereo. You can't record more tracks simultaneously. These other numbers, 3, 4, 5, that I've showed you, are there because the developers of Audacity anticipate that in the future, Audacity will have the ability to record more than two simultaneous tracks. But that ability is not present now. I showed you these numbers so you'd know they were there and to explain to you how they work and what the limitations are. But for now, you have to choose between either stereo or monaural when determining what kind of file you're going to be recording.
I'm going to go back to monaural.
3, 2 stereo, 1 mono.
And that's where I want it, so I'm going to leave it there. Now,
play other tracks while recording, new one, check, box, check.
There are some other items in here that you may want to experiment with.
Tab, software, play through, play new track while... Tab, okay,
but,
button. Tab, cancel button, tab, playback device, combo box, Microsoft Sound Mapper.
Now we're back to where we started. We're not going to fool around with these other options in the dialogue. So now you know how to make the file stereo art or monaural or even more tracks.
Now I'm going to control tab through the property sheets until I get to the next one I want to work with.
Default sample rate combo box 22,000. When importing uncompressed audio files into Audacity, make a copy of the file before editing, save for radio button, not checked, 1 of 2.
This is the property sheet I want to work with now. You'll know you're in the right place because as you're control tabbing around, you'll hear it say something like, when importing an uncompressed audio file into Audacity, make a copy of the file first. What I want to deal with in this property sheet are items dealing with changing the formats or changing settings you'll use while working with the format. I'm going to begin by tabbing in this property sheet until I get to an item that says Uncompressed Export Format. Then I'll explain that briefly. I'm going to start tabbing now.
Tab, when importing uncompressed audio files into Audacity, tab, Uncompressed Export Format combo box, WAV.
Uncompressed Export Format. It's now set on WAV. If you up and down arrow through here, you'll see other uncompressed audio formats that you can record and export in. Let's hear a few of these now. I'm going to start down arrowing.
WAV Microsoft 32-bit float.
WAV Microsoft 32-bit float.
WAV Microsoft 4-bit ADPCM.
Another WAV format or variation.
WAV Microsoft 4-bit MSADPCM.
And yet another WAV variation.
WAV Microsoft 8-bit PCM.
And another one.
Audacity preferences dialog, file format stage, file format dialog, not all combinations of headers and encoders. WAV disk sphere, WaveX Microsoft, Zyfast Tracker 2.
These are all different files that you can import, rather that you can export. Now, let's go to the top. I'm going to press home to move to the top of the list.
Home, AFE Apple SGI.
Now, that's AFE. That's another format you can work with.
AUSUN DXT, AVR Audio Visual Research. HTKHMM Toolkit.
These are, as I said, all sorts of formats that are available to you. Now, let's go back up to the AFE one.
AVR Audio, AUSUN DXT, AFE Apple SGI.
That's AIF, AFE. Let's say that you wanted to export a file as AFE. If you select this format and then activate the OK button, when you record in Audacity, just as I showed you before, when you press R to record in Audacity, Audacity will be recording in the AFE format before it was recording in the WAV format. So it's actually recording in a different format. And then when you go into the File menu and down arrow, as you know, before Export as WAV was one of the items that you could export as. Now that won't be there anymore, and Export as AFE will be there instead. Now remember, these are dealing specifically with uncompressed audio formats. MP3 and AUG, which are compressed formats, will still be there. The only thing that will change when you're looking through the file menu is that Export as AFE will be there instead of Export as WAV. Unless you have some reason to work with other formats, there's no reason for you to change things. You can just leave WAV as the item. But I wanted you to know how to do this in case you ever want to. And for those of you who already know something about recording, you may find this information useful. I'm now going to tab to the next item in the dialog, where you set parameters for working with AUG files. I'm going to tab now.
Tab, Ogg export setup log Microsoft, signed 16-bit PCM left right slider, 50%.
Now this is confusing because this field in the dialog doesn't read properly. What it really should be telling you is that you're dealing with Ogg files and that the current setting is 50%, but it reads other information dealing with the field we were just in before we tabbed to this one. So the thing for you to listen for here is what it tells you the percent number is when you're working with the Ogg files. So when you down arrow or up arrow in this part of the dialog, you'll hear different numbers, different percentages. I'll down arrow now and you can hear them change.
60%, 70%, 80%.
Now we'll go back up to 50%, which is where it was originally.
70%, 60%, 50%.
So as you can see, each time you down arrow, it changes by 10%. Now, technically, I don't know what these percentages mean in terms of just what it's changing about how Ogg files are recorded. However, as you change the percentages and record, you'll see that the size of the file changes and you'll notice some difference in quality as you work with the different percentages. I just want you to know this is available in case you want to experiment with it and try different settings in Ogg. I would imagine most of you probably won't be doing much or anything with Ogg files. I personally don't like the way they record. My opinion is that they emphasize the highs a little more than the original source that you're recording from, and that they have a bit thinner sound than MP3 files. And so therefore, even though many people like Ogg files and say that they're better and talk about the advantages of using them, I don't like them and I don't use them. I very seldom use them. Also, of course, very few players will play Ogg files. Winamp will play Ogg files. That's the only player that I know that will play Ogg files. At least it's the only one of the big three that plays them. Real Player doesn't play them, and Media Player doesn't play them. But if you like Ogg files and if you want to use them, this is where you change the setting that determines the size and sound quality of Ogg files. I'm now going to tap to the next item in the dialog, where you change the bitrate of MP3 files.
Tab, MP3 export setup find library button.
MP3 export setup find library button, which I've never used.
Tab, MP3 export setup bitrate combo box 32, 3 of 16.
Here we are, the MP3 export bitrate. When you're exporting an MP3 file, here's where you change the bitrate for that. You'll see a lot of different things as I up and down arrow. You'll hear different rates.
40. 32.
Okay, now, we started at 32. I'm going to down arrow to 40.
40. 48. 56.
Now we're at 56. The higher the number, the higher the bitrate is. And the higher the bitrate is, the larger your file is, and the better the sound quality is.
64. 80.
Now we're at 80.
96. 112.
Now we're at 112.
128.
Now we're at 128.
128 is the bitrate a lot of people use when they're making music files.
Since I almost never record music, I use 32 as my export rate. I'm going to go back there since that's the one I want. I'm going to up arrow now till I get there.
112, 96, 80, 64.
I'm going to do it faster.
50, 48, 40, 32.
Now we're back at 32. If you go below 32, you'll lose a significant amount of sound quality. But when you're dealing with spoken word files, 32 wouldn't be suitable for music, but it sounds fine for spoken word. You may want to save room, even more room, and go down below 32, but if you go to 24, you really start losing quality, and it sounds sort of like an AM broadcast after you've saved it. For spoken word, 32 sounds surprisingly good, but instead of dictating to you or prescribing what rates I think you should use, I would say to experiment. You can record a file and play with these different rates. You can change settings and export the same file with a lot of different rates. And to make it convenient, you could give the files different names, like test MP3 128 for the 128 MP3 file. You could call another one test MP3 64 or all sorts of different rates. If you want to play with Ogg, you can Ogg Forbis, you can do the same thing. You can export the same file over and over as an Ogg file. And then you can play the different versions in whatever player you want and compare the results. Actually, Winamp is the only player that I know that plays Ogg Forbis, so you'll probably be pretty limited in the players you can use with that. But let your own ear and your own taste and your own requirements and how much disk space you want to use determine what sort of format you want to use. That is...
Tab, okay button.
That is all that I wanted to cover in this dialogue, so I'm going
tab,
to...
cancel button.
I'm going to cancel it now.
Space.
And we're back in the main Audacity window. Now, we've pretty much covered... We've covered just about everything that I wanted to cover in Audacity, except one thing. MP3 file exporting. There are patent and license restrictions on MP3 files. So a lot of audio programs cannot directly export an MP3 file. And that's the case here. If you want to export an MP3 file, you have to download the LAME encoder, it's called. And there's a link on the Audacity site that you can follow, and then you may have to follow other links, but there's a link for downloading the LAME encoder. The LAME encoder, you download it, and it arrives as a zip file. You have to unzip this file on your machine and then tell Audacity where it is. I'll tell you what I think is the easiest way to do it.
After you download the LAME encoder, make a new folder on your hard drive, on the main part of your hard drive. For most of you, you'll be making it on the C drive. I call my folder LAME, and it would probably be a good idea if you did the same thing. It's just easy and logical.
After you make the folder, place the zip file containing the LAME encoder in that folder. In other words, I put mine in the folder called LAME. Now unzip the files so that they're in the correct folder. Everything will be there where it should be. Then, use Audacity and tell it, when you have a file in there that you want to work with, tell it to export it as an MP3 file. You'll be asked where the LAME encoder is. A dialog will open asking you that, and you'll be in an edit field. If you know about path statements, you'll understand what I'm telling you. If you don't, just type what I tell you, and it'll work.
If you've made a folder called LAME directly on the C drive, type C:\LAME, and then press Enter. If you've used a different drive, like the D drive or the F drive or whatever other drive you've used, then you would type the appropriate drive letter. For example, G:\LAME. If you've used a different name for the folder, then use the other name where in the right place. For example, C:\encoder. Whatever you've called the folder, that's the name you use, and in as I'm describing the syntax you're going to use. But let's keep things simple. Let's assume that your folders and files are on the C drive and that you've named the folder LAME. So you would type, as I said, C:\LAME and press Enter.
The reason I'm telling you to do it this way is because my recollection, and I did this maybe 8 months ago, I only had to do it once, you never have to do it again. My recollection is that there's no way of telling this dialogue where you want the location to be. It's not like a typical open or save as dialogue. It appeared to me, as my recollection, that I had to type the path, the full path, to the folder. So once you do that and press Enter, type the full path and press Enter, then a dialogue will come up, the typical save as dialogue, and then you tell it where you want to save the file, or you give it a name, whatever you want to do. Then press Enter again. Then another dialogue will open. You'll have two radio buttons where you are. One of the radio buttons will say, more flexible, less compatible, something very similar to that. Then if you down arrow or up arrow, you'll check a radio button that says the opposite, more or less, something like more compatible, less flexible.
These choices don't have anything to do with the MP3 file itself, the sound format of it. They have to do with what are called ID3 tags. Evidently, from the little I've read and from the playing around I've done, these are tags that you can use to put information into an MP3 file, such as the name of the album you're recording, the name of the artist, different information. I don't know what the limitations are in the less compatible option, so I choose the more compatible option, although it may make no difference if you choose either option, whichever one you choose, unless you plan to add information here. If you tab around, you'll see different fields where you can add information, such as I've been describing. If you're not going to do it, it probably, my guess is it doesn't make any difference which of these you choose, but just to be safe, I always choose the more compatible option, even though I'm not going to add any information. Now remember, these are radio buttons, so you can leave the one checked that's checked when this dialog comes up, or you can change it, which whatever you want to do. After you've changed it or not changed it, whatever you want, press enter and the file will begin to be exported.
Now before I continue with my next topic, which will be the last topic, I see time is really going by fast. I'm going to open the floor again briefly and see if anyone has any questions or comments, because I've been covering a fair amount of material.
Hello, this is Ken Crane from Baltimore, Maryland. I have a question. Can you increase the treble of the recording, like the radio show called The Shadow, you know, like to make it sound, make the quality sound real crisp?
Not, I don't recall any option in the effects menu for that. There's a bass boost. I don't recall any option for increasing treble. There's a high pass and a low pass filter, which won't, as I understand it, it won't increase or decrease the sound levels, but you can chop off frequencies, lower or higher frequencies, which isn't the same thing, but you can very much change the nature of the sound by chopping off lower or higher frequencies. But I don't recall any treble boost. If you look through the effects menu and play around, you'll be able to see what you can do. But the only thing I recall specifically that boosts anything is the bass boost.
Gene, it's Walt Kramer. First of all, I wanted to say in the 9 or 10 months since you and I graduated from Kathy Ann's class, you've obviously had a fair amount of experience at doing this online stuff. You're doing a tremendous job. My question refers to my attempts to download the LAME encoder. I have seemingly succeeded in downloading it, but when I try to... maybe this was where I went wrong. When I would try to open the zip file, I would get a message that said the file was corrupted, and that seemed to apply no matter which file I downloaded. And as you're perhaps aware, there are up on the LAME site many files that have identical version numbers.
Well, the only thing I can suggest, you know, I did this such a long time ago now that... that I can't tell you the details of how that page is set up, but I would say to look around the links for the context up and down arrow to see what it says. I don't know if this is the case, but it may be the case that some of these different versions are for different operating systems or for different versions of Windows. So I'd say to find the one that best matches your version of Windows and try downloading it again. And then try unzipping it and see what happens. As far as your other comment, well, I appreciate the compliment, and it's misleading. However, this is my first online presentation since I finished Kathy Ann's class. But I think just thinking about how I want to give presentations has helped me have a much better idea what I want to do.
And to think that you would never have had to admit that.
Gene, this is Jack Brazil. Can you import MIDI files and export them as WAV files?
No, you can't import MIDI files. You also can't import or export real audio files. And while we're speaking about working with different file types, I should point out that if you do have an Ogg-Vorbis file and you want to listen to it, and you don't have Winamp, you can import it into Audacity and listen to it in that way.
This comment about different file formats reminded me of one thing that I wanted to point out before when I was talking about editing files or doing different kinds of work with files. If you're going to be editing a file, you should always save it as a WAV file if you intend to edit it. because these other formats, MP3 and Ogg Vorbis, the reason that they are so much smaller is because they chop off little bits of the sound. So let's say that you save a file as an MP3 file and then you decide you want to edit it. If you edit it and then save it again as an MP3 file, you're actually saving an MP3 file again that already was an MP3 file, and because it's a compression format, you're going to lose more sound quality. It's going to chop out more of the sound. So the more often you resave an MP3 or an Ogg Vorbis file, the sound quality will deteriorate. So if you are going to be doing editing, save files as WAV files, and then don't make a final copy as a compressed format file until you've finished doing your last editing. Even if you open the file five times on five different days to do more editing, always save those copies as WAV files until you've done the last one and you want to save the final version if you want to save it as a compressed file format.
Gene, what is the approximate ratio in terms of how much space an MP3 file takes versus how much a WAV file takes? Do you know that?
I don't know if I've ever seen a specific ratio stated. I think I've seen that MP3 files generally tend to be about a tenth of the size of a WAV file. And, of course, that will vary because when I save an MP3 file, it's going to be a lot smaller because I use the 32-bit sample rate. It's going to be a lot smaller than someone who saves a music file at 128 sample rate. So that's going to depend on the size of the file, but as I recall, the general figure that I've seen is that an MP3 file is about a tenth as large as a WAV file.
Thank you very much.
You're correct. The MP3 files are about a tenth of the WAV file. Have you worked at all with the new Beta 1.3?
No, I like my current Audacity, and I haven't tried any later versions.
There has been some information on the Audacity website, at least the last time I looked, that indicated that 1.3 wasn't yet stable. I don't know if that's still the case.
I saw it listed when I was looking at the site today, just doing some odds and ends to get ready for the presentation today. I saw that I think the version that I have is listed as stable, and then the other version is listed as beta. I don't remember if it said unstable, but I wasn't too interested in the beta, so I've never done anything with it.
What is the Audacity website? I went to audacity.com earlier today, and it said, we do not make audio programs, but what is the actual Audacity site?
I just put it up in the text chat for anybody who needs it. It's audacity.sourceforge.net, and it's up in the text chat. You can actively link it there. If you do a control left click, it'll open it up in your favorite browser.
You can get it on audacity.com. There's a link right there at the very beginning of that page, because I guess they're probably tired of people trying to get, they're a janitorial company, but they do have a link there that you can go to and download it.
That's kind of funny. And it's shift left click to open it in your favorite browser. I apologize.
Gene, this is Bob Prahan. I was wondering two questions. First of all, is there a normalize option in Audacity? I played with it, and I don't remember seeing that. And the other question was, is there a way in Audacity to see, to read the VU meter, either with the keypad mouse keys or some other way, either whilst recording or during playback?
I haven't found any way. I don't really know just what it looks like visually. I've looked around the screen with the mouse pointer, with the JAWS cursor and the mouse pointer in WindowEyes, but I haven't found any way to read it. As far as, and the same may be true with editing. If you're a sighted user, I would imagine you could edit more precisely, I assume you can, than as a blind user. As a blind user, you can edit closer, pretty close to where you want to do the work, but you can't get the same amount of precision. At least I haven't found any way to do it. that I assume a sighted user can. So you may be stuck with 10 or 20 seconds or something like that of extra material on one side or the other of the edit.
I've been pretty lucky in SoundForge, at least, with editing, and I think you get pretty close here with Audacity, and I depend totally on a screen reader. But I was wondering about the normalize feature, and that's something else I didn't notice, because levels, as you know, can vary considerably, and you can use your ear to some extent, but when you're really trying to get a file close to zero VU, it's sometimes difficult, especially if you're dealing with music.
Well, I haven't specifically looked for that, but I haven't seen it. My assumption is that if it's there, at least if it's there in a form that's accessible for a blind user, probably it'll probably be in the effects menu. But I don't recall seeing any sort of normalize item in the effects menu. I can maybe just look very quickly for a moment and see.
There's a normalize feature in the beta that I have on my computer, and I believe it's in the effects menu, and I haven't pretty used it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's usable.
That's probably then one of the improvements they made in the beta, because it ought to be there, and maybe I'll go download that sometime if I can find it. But Gene, I think it was a really nice presentation. I found out some things I didn't know. For example, the need to use control tabs in that one dialogue instead of left and right arrow, which that's why it didn't work for me. And so, very, very nice presentation.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to tell you, I've never been interested in normalization, but I just looked through the effects menu and I found a normalize there. So, you know, if you want to know about programs, one of the best ways to find out what's in a program quickly is to just look through different menus and see what's there. So you'll find it if you look through the effects menu. And before I go on with the... Well, I think I should continue with the very last part of my presentation, so I'm going to do that now, and then people can make more comments or ask more questions after this. This part will take maybe 5 or 8 minutes, but I do want to get this one last part in. And just a moment while I want to make a change for a brief, a slight change. And here we are. The last thing I want to talk about is briefly discuss the importance, a very important thing. This isn't an Audacity feature, but it's something that people need to know. One of the things I wanted to describe today is how you record. Let's say you want to record something directly from the internet, if you're listening to an internet stream, or you're listening to just anything coming from the internet, some sort of file that's playing, whatever it is. You can make a recording of it using Audacity. You can actually use any recording program in this way. The way you do it is you work with the settings in the volume control, the Windows volume control. I'm not going to do any sort of in-depth discussion of the Windows volume control, but briefly, I'm going to tell you how to open the Windows volume control, and I'm going to tell you how to work with the record settings there so you can determine the source from which you're recording. To open Windows volume control, you do the way I do it. There are many ways to do it, but my favorite way is to open the Run dialog, type SNDVOL, so you can think of that as SNDVOL, if that helps you remember it, and then 32, press, and then press Enter. So that's SNDVOL 32 and press Enter, and then wait for a moment and the volume control will open and it will be announced. Your screen reader will announce it. You're in the main program window now, which is a dialog. There's no OK button in this dialog, and there's no Apply button. There's not a Close button. Anything you do in here will immediately take effect, even when you're in the dialog. So I would say you can look around here. You can tab around and get a feel for how it works, but don't just go around playing with it until you really get a good understanding of how it's set up and what you're doing, because there are going to be things you're not going to want to change. And the only thing that I want to discuss in the play part of the dialogue is, as you tab around, you'll see your microphone listed in the play options. You'll see it listed, and then when you get beyond the volume control setting for microphone, you'll see a mute checkbox. The pattern is that the mute checkbox always follows the volume settings for whatever item you're working with. So when you get to microphone and you tab beyond the microphone place where you set the volume, if you're going to record directly from the internet, make sure you mute that checkbox, or make sure you disconnect or turn off whatever option you have, the microphone. Because if that checkbox is not muted, if the checkbox isn't checked, then the microphone will play through the sound card, and any extraneous sound the microphone picks up will be recorded when you're recording directly from the internet, and I'll explain why that is in a moment. So whatever you do, if you're going to be checking the mute checkbox in the play part of the volume controller, whether you're going to unplug the microphone or if it has an on-off switch, whatever you do, make sure it's not going to send any sound to the sound card while you're recording. So here is how you make this change to determine the source of where you're going to be recording. Determining the source is done in the record part of volume control, and here's how you get there. Whenever you open volume control, you're in the play settings. But volume control is a Windows program, and as you'd expect, there are menus. So open the menus with Alt, down arrow once to properties, and press Enter. Tab once, you'll be on radio buttons. The first one says adjust volume for play settings. Down arrow once and you'll select and check one that says select settings for record or something roughly like that. It'll be obvious. Then press Enter. Now you're back in the record settings for volume control. As you tab around here, you'll see that there are different sources that you can adjust. You can adjust the volume level for things like MIDI or CD or microphone. But after the place where you adjust the volume settings, there's a checkbox for each of these. The source, when you select a source in this part of volume control, if you want to record from the line in, as though you were record, if you want to record from a stereo or a radio or something and use the line in jack on your sound card, you tab to the line in part of the volume control settings, then you tab once beyond where you set the volume levels, and you press space on the checkbox to select it. You can only have one item selected at a time. So the other item that was checked before will automatically become unchecked. But the one I'm interested in telling you about, for directly recording from the internet, different sound cards call it different things. But look for something called what you hear, or look for something called stereo mix. I don't know what all the different names are that sound cards may have for this, but those are two common ones. Once you find that, check the checkbox associated with that item. Remember, the pattern is first the item volume settings, then you tab once to get to the checkbox. Once you check that, literally, any sound that your sound card plays will be recorded. That's why I said to uncheck the to mute the microphone or unplug it or turn it off, because if your sound card plays anything from your microphone, it's going to be recorded. It'll also record your screen reader if you're using an internal synthesizer, literally anything that plays through your sound card. So when you're recording something directly from the internet, make sure that you don't have any programs open that are going to make sounds, like if you're running an email program, and if you have it open, then if it downloads email on some sort of schedule and then plays a sound, that sound, because you hear it through your sound card, is going to be recorded. If you use a screen reader, as I said, it will be recorded. If you do something to generate a Windows sound, it will be recorded. So you may well want to do the wise and careful thing, and when you're recording, just not use your computer for anything so you don't generate sounds that you don't want to occur in your recording. Now, if you're recording from line in, or if you're using the microphone as a source, or if you're using something like line in, then you won't record all these things that are playing through your sound card. So you can use, you can use your computer for other things. But remember that when you're using, that when you're recording directly from the sound card, you have to be very careful about that. And to conclude, I just want to go into one more thing. When you open the recording properties, when you do what I told you to do, you open the properties and volume control, you've selected the radio button for recording. If you tab once beyond those radio buttons, you'll be in a series of checkboxes. Up and down arrow through there and see what's checked and what's unchecked. Let's say you're looking for what you hear or stereo mix as you're tabbing around in the record dialog of the volume control, the main part of the volume control, and you don't see anything like that. Well, go back into the properties. Make sure that you're working in the record properties. You will be if you haven't closed volume control after you've selected that radio button and closed it before. At any rate, the point that what I'm trying to say is this. When you're working in the record part of volume control, when you open the menus, open properties, then tab twice, you'll be in these series of checkboxes. Up and down arrow and see everything that's there. If anything sounds as though it's something that's going to accomplish what I've described, like what you hear or stereo mix, and it's not checked, then check it with the space bar and then tap to and activate the OK button in the properties dialog, because then you'll have access to that item in the volume control. Nothing, if something isn't checked in this checkbox, in these series of checkboxes, you won't see it when you're tabbing around looking at the different controls in the volume control dialog. That was the main last point that I wanted to make. I hope I presented it clearly or reasonably clearly. If it's not completely clear, you can play around with it and listen to this part again and look around in volume control settings, but be careful what you change. And now I will leave the floor open for any other questions or comments, and I'm certainly glad that all of you attended today, and I enjoyed this presentation, and I hope you enjoy using the program and spreading the word about the program. It seems to me to be a program that a lot of blind people don't know about, and many might be interested in if they did. So now I'll be happy to take any more questions for a while.
Okay.
I'm back. I finally got it right. Any more questions or comments?
I tried to download the Audacity program, and I don't find the save as dialogue.
When you download, what happens when you follow, where do you have the problem when you're, after you follow the download link?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I have to press Shift-Enter, because otherwise the page does not open, but there is no save as dialogue.
It's hard to say. I'm not sure what's causing the problem. If you have a pop-up blocker that may be keeping a window from opening, or if you haven't followed all the links. I was looking at this yesterday, and it seems to me that I had to go through maybe two or three pages to finally get to the right link, and I had to keep searching for the word download on the different pages, and each time I got closer to the right one. I'm not quite sure what the problem is that you're having. There may be some other problem that has to do with your security settings that's keeping some page from loading properly. And I don't know how much help that is, but if you keep having a problem, if you want to get in touch with me, my email address, I don't know if you caught that at the beginning, is gsasner@ripco.com, and I may be able to help you with it.
Yeah, I heard your address at the beginning.
I've also put Gene's address up in the text chat for anybody who may want to snag that and keep that for future reference.
I had no idea there were so many people here. I just checked, and 30 people.
At our peak, we had over 45.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
So, like, I'm actually on the download link, but I don't know if that's going to, I'm not sure if that's going to make a difference there.
Well, at this point in time, I'm going to end the recording. Thank you all for coming. You're welcome to stay as long as Gene's available and ask more questions and share in discussion. But I'm going to turn off the official recording so we can get this uploaded for those who could not attend tonight. And thank you all. And I hope you'll attend any other presentations we have. I'm hoping some of our other graduates will offer presentations as well. Gene, you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Hosted this and had the idea to make it a public presentation instead of for the graduates only.